Good afternoon. So before I take general questions, I know that you want to talk about immigration and enforcement. I wanted to say that it was a very valuable meeting that we had today dealing with bias policing and hearing from multiple groups on their feelings about the Los Angeles Police Department and the community survey that we just recently completed. Really important to have this conversation. We look forward to more and more of them. I think that the real solution to the issues that law enforcement and the community are dealing with now all center around communication, all center around empathy, understanding each other's point of view, and working through those point of views. So with that, I'll take questions. Well, I think that there's multiple points to that question. First, the vast majority of immigration violations are civil law, and we generally do not enforce civil law. Second of all, the federal government has the primary, by statute, role in enforcing immigration law. It is a federal statute. There are multiple federal laws that local police agencies, including mine, do not enforce. We don't enforce the tax codes. We don't enforce the ag codes. And generally, we don't enforce immigration laws. Now, if I get somebody into my custody for a criminal violation, and immigration is able to make contact with that person prior to their release, then they may be able to use that as a tool to make contact. But it is not the primary job of local law enforcement to enforce civil or federal laws. Our practice will remain the same. There are court decisions saying that ICE detainers do not constitute legal restrictions or legal ability for local police departments to hold folks. So we abide by that. If ICE is able to come while that person is still in custody before their release, and then we release them and they're able to take them into custody, then we will allow that. Well, we do know that that's not true. The system by which we run folks nationally for warrants notifies ICE automatically.
Right. And when they ask you to let them know when somebody's being released, what do you do?
If they make contact, then we give them the release dates. But we don't hold people past those release dates.
Right,
and if they bail out, they bail out. Well, we notify them of their potential release date, which for us is within 48 to 72 hours.
Chief, it would be hard to read your comments to the LA Times the other day as anything other than an implication that you personally think that the President-elect's policies on deportation are flat out wrong. Is that a fair characterization of your view? And if not, what is your view of what the President wants?
Well, I think my view is that the change in the federal government's views or their enforcement of immigration has no effect on local law enforcement. That is my view. As a chief of police, I'm not a politician. You know, my political views are my own. I don't put them out, but I do have a very strong conviction that local policing needs the cooperation of the majority of the folks that live within their jurisdiction. You know, over 500,000 Angelenos, people that live in Los Angeles, undocumented immigrants. I need their cooperation. I need them to work with their local police stations. I need them to be witnesses to violent crime. I need them to be part of the fabric of Los Angeles if we're going to keep this city safe. And for a local law enforcement agency to take on the role of immigration enforcement tears that fabric apart. So besides the fact that it's not our job by statute, I think that in order for us to complete what is our job by statute, which is to make this community safer, then we have to work in a cooperative manner with our immigrant communities.
So
let me just finish, then I'll let you do a follow-up. Now, if somebody comes into our custody that has been taken into custody for a violent crime, and ICE wants to make contact with them before they get released, then we will make that, we'll do what we can to make that available without holding them on an ICE detainer, because ICE detainers have been shown to be illegal, or
so
court decisions.
So the current policy is better, in your view, than the proposed future policy?
As it goes towards local policing. You know, what the federal government does with immigration enforcement is something within their purview. And so I won't opine on that. I will say that I think they overreach if they think that 11 million people can be deported in some way that is A, successful, and B, fair. Well, I understand that our communities and a narrative within communities, particularly communities that are adversely affected by crime, is that there is a heavy police presence. And there is a much heavier police presence in our communities that are adversely affected by crime. And so, you know, it's important to hear people's point of views, but it's also important to put forward that, you know, the vast majority of police officers, Los Angeles police officers, do their job to the best of their ability every day, free from bias and free from influence. You know, and when we find circumstance where that's not true, then we deal with it, and we take extraordinary measures to take, you know, to take people from society, and to screen them and to train them and to free them from bias as much as is humanly possible, But all of us have bias. You know, everybody has implicit bias, and it isn't whether you have it. It's what you, how that affects the outcomes, how that affects how you do your job. So those are really important conversations to have. And you know, until America has these conversations and has them out in the open and isn't afraid to talk about the fact that we all have biases and that we all have to screen our own biases to make sure they don't affect what we do for our employment, especially for police officers, you know, then we'll never get beyond this. And I think we have to have that same conversation on the other side of the aisle and say, you know, that if you have a natural bias against police officers and you believe police officers are inherently evil or are inherently going to do the wrong thing, then you really need to look at that, because that is not an accurate bias either. You know, and I think that sometimes, you know, after this particular election cycle, and seeing America so divided, so shouting at each other, so not listening, so not working together, so not cooperating on issues that we have to resolve, and we won't resolve these issues by mandating our own point of view on somebody else. The only way we will resolve these issues is by working together, and I think that's really important. And I think that goes to the same reason why it's so important for local law enforcement to be separate on general immigration enforcement than federal government, because we have a completely different role than the federal government does. It's in keeping our communities safe. They have an appropriate role, but so do we. And ours will not be furthered by being the immigration police.
Could you change the complaint process for biased policing? You found no. The department sustained no complaints.
Well, I sustained one. The border rights did not uphold it, so technically it's sustained. But
okay. So
and the individual was terminated.
Something like 1,500. Generally, none get sustained. Do you think that's an accurate picture of whether or not there's biased policing going on?
Well, I think that it's an accurate picture of how difficult it is to determine a person's motivations, especially when a law enforcement contact may be legal on every other parameter. You know, it is so hard to determine a person's initial reason for the contact. So I think it shows that, but I think it also shows, and in many, many, many cases has shown, particularly since we've had body worn in-car video footage available, that many times there is no bias.
So generally,
No, I don't think that, you know, if I thought there was no problem at all, I certainly would not have put all the resources that we have into training about implicit bias, into invest. You know, I have a huge resource that's invested in investigating these complaints. You know, I think all the resources that we put in mediation on these complaints, you know, that I think that one of the real solutions to this issue is mediation between the police officer and the individual that feels they were aggrieved or stopped because of their race or for some other status reason. I think, you know, that does a lot towards explaining both sides of the equation, towards making people understand each other, which I think is very important in this. Well, you know, of course, losing federal funds is a big deal. You know, we would not like to lose federal funds. But I'll tell you this, whether or not I do the right thing is not a matter of money to me. You know, this is a matter of principle. This is a matter of something that I believe is a core value of the Los Angeles Police Department that I think far transcends any other motivation. No, we already do. You know, what I've said is I'm not going to change the posture of the Los Angeles Police Department based on the results of last Tuesday. Now, we already, when somebody commits a serious violent crime, cooperate to the extent that's legal with DHS. You know, this is part of their resurrection of secure communities and our ability to work with them. But the use of local law enforcement for general deportation reasons for low-level offenders is not appropriate, and we don't do that.
Chief, what is your fear of what would happen if the department was more involved in immigration?
I think it would break down the connections that we have with immigrant communities, which are communities that are very vulnerable to crime, that are communities which are very vulnerable to being abused by either by employers, by petty criminals, by gang members, you know, by so many other aspects of society. And the reason that they get abused is because it's perceived that they won't cooperate with the police. You know, and so their protection is from all those violations is to have a good relationship with the police department. And that can't happen if, you know, you're not going to call if your daughter was attacked, if you think that when Los Angeles police officers show up, they're going to deport your uncle. That can't be. Otherwise, people will not call. We will not be able to investigate crimes. We will not be able to get witnesses to testify in court, and we cannot make this city safer. You know, this is a community that Los Angeles is a community that has a huge immigrant population, and it's so important to keep all of this community safe, because believe me, criminals don't just prey on immigrants, they don't just prey on citizens, they prey on those that they believe are weaker than them. We can't protect anybody. So it's very important.
Chief, if you're still collecting data on vehicle stops, what does that data say? Does it still show as in previous years that a disproportionate number of vehicles were stopped and might that be a better measure?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to, you know, this is a very complicated subject. You can't, it really depends on what you use as a denominator. In other words, what are you comparing the ratio of stops to in order to validate it? Are you comparing it to the portion of the population? Are you comparing it to the portion of the population that is economically disadvantaged? Are you comparing it to the portion of the population that is educationally disadvantaged? Are you comparing it to the portion of the population that has housing issues? Are you comparing it to the portion of the population that has criminality issues? You know, so in other words, to take the raw numbers and go, well, you got 28% African American stops and only 9% African American ratio of the population is not fair. It has to be a much deeper analysis than that, because I truly believe that people do not commit crime because of the color of their skin. It's more the degree of their circumstance. And until you measure degree of circumstance and get beyond skin color, then you will never find out whether that stop data is reflective or not.
What do you take away from the deep-seated concern you heard in the commission meeting with familiar faces, unfamiliar faces, and the depth of those concerns?
Well, you know, a lot of familiar faces, you know, and a lot of folks that come to the commission meeting regularly and express consternation with the Los Angeles Police Department. And so, you know, they didn't just get those Fire Chief Beck t-shirts printed today. You know, those are a staple. So, you know, I think that partially influences my thoughts on this. But that doesn't change my understanding that there is a huge, especially today. You know, a lot of you want to talk about immigration and how it connects to law enforcement. And then, you know, more of you want to talk about biased policing. But the core is the same. You know, the real issue with local law enforcement of immigration laws is breakdown of community trust. The real issue with biased policing is community trust. This is all about, you know, what can we do within the confines of policing to increase the level of community trust. And so we have to address biased policing, and we have to be seen as a protector and not a deporter. And so, you know, we have to respect those roles. And until we do that, you know, then we will not be the police department that I want us to be, and will not be the police department that this city deserves. You know, these are very complicated issues. You know, I appreciate all of you giving me the time to speak on this, and I hope that you portray them as the complicated issues that they are. You know, if we make these things too simple, then people think the solutions are simple, and they are not. You know, it is not just about, oh, the chief doesn't want to, you know, to work with immigration. Well, that isn't exactly true. But I don't want to work inappropriately with immigration, and I don't want to work with immigration in a way that destroys community trust. And that's what's really important. And biased policing, you know, do I think the biased policing is rampant? Absolutely not. Do I think it occurs? Of course it does. But how do I address that? And the best way to address it is through exercises that build trust, either on the police side or the community side or on both. All right, thank you all.
Thank you, everybody.